You have heard me preach before on Spider-Man. You have heard me preach before that with great power comes great responsibility. So as believers, as Christians, we have a great power and a great responsibility to take the word of God to those that need to hear it. Just like the famous line in Transformers, "There's more than meets the eye," I want to also say that not only are we like Spider-Man, but we are also like Transformers. So, if you don't know the Transformers story, it is very, very simple, very easy to catch on. It's about the Autobots, the good guys, and the Decepticons, the bad guys. The Autobots are the protectors of Earth, and the Decepticons are the destroyers of Earth. And in every single movie, there's a battle between the two. They call themselves robots in disguise, because each of these robots can be trucks, but you wouldn't know it. Or they would be planes flying in the sky, and you wouldn't know it. So with Transformers, there's more than meets the eye. In a sense, I believe that we as believers are just like Transformers. The day we come to Jesus, the more we walk with Jesus, something amazing transforms within us. Or at least it should. So this morning, we're going to be talking about one single verse. But don't think that means the sermon is going to be short. It's just one verse in Romans 12:2. So our physical appearance when we come to Jesus stays the same. We still have pimples. We still have freckles. Maybe our hair is thinning a little bit. Maybe we still just look the same. We have this same physical appearance, but there's more than meets the eye because something different is taking place within inside of us. There is a transformation of life when we come to Jesus because Jesus changes lives. When you look at the gospel, you can see when he encounters someone, more often than not, they are changed. And it should be the same for each and every one of us. People crave new things. New phones, new clothes, new cars, new hairstyles. Maybe some of us even crave a new face. We can go in and get a new look, a new body, a new nose, a new ear. People can get new furniture for their home, a new Lazy Boy, or a 4K. And in whatever amount of years, we're going to be able to have 10K. We're always running after the next thing that we can buy. Now, I think we would all like to make some changes. Think for a second, maybe what you would want to change. If you had any reign over whatever you could change, what would it be? Now, I think, superficially, a lot of us would want to change some external things. Maybe we would want to be skinnier, or taller, or better looking, or maybe shorter. Maybe you would change your eyes or your hair or your teeth. Maybe your legs. I know I would like to change my pasty white legs so the youth students would leave me alone and I could wear my shorts in peace. But if we can change anything or everything, we will and we will try. Anything external, that is. That's what we can change. And in a way, changing those external things are sometimes simple. And it may be simple to change those things on the outside of our lives. But what about the inside? So this morning, why transform? Well, I say because it changes everything. I say that it determines your future. Let me put it this way. Your community, your character. It matters who you choose as your closest friends. It matters who you follow. If you want to develop a heart that beats after God's own glory, then you would want to surround yourself with the people that do the same thing. Another way we could say it is your decisions, your destination. Your decisions will determine your destination. Big decisions are not the only important decisions that we make. Our everyday, small, mundane decisions that we make will determine our destination. And all of us are deeply influenced by our upbringing and by our environment. We dress a certain way. We like certain foods. We behave in a certain manner. Why? In part because of the influence of the people around us and the circumstances we endured during those times. Now think of it this way, and this may be a controversial one. The way you express anger is a learned response. You didn't just, an angry response is a learned response. I'll phrase it one last way. Your priorities, your path. Your priorities, the things that you find, whether that path is one you want to go down or not. Your community is what shapes your character. And your character will dictate those who do nothing. We have made great improvements as humans over many, many years. The speed at which we are gaining knowledge is honestly our phones. It is just an amazing piece of technology. The fact that a computer can be this small and do this many things. But yet, life has not the same worries and fears. And to be honest, probably even more. We worry about not having enough. We fear being diagnosed with cancer of some kind. We have more broken families today and a growing number of suicides and divorces than ever. So life has not improved. I can see the same old handicaps, worries, fears, same sadness, and same miseries. No amount of new gadgets, clothes, or things can really give us what our heart. And I don't think this is a new concept for many of you. It's not the things in life that matter. We can have many new things, but we cannot have a new life unless we come. What needs to be transformed? Why be transformed? And how do we become transformed? Or you can even say, how do we become transformers? So, idea. God quick-stormed us. Sin deformed us. The Bible informs us. But Jesus transforms us. So let's start with the first question. What needs to be, we can go home early? Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. So I'm going to read Romans 12:2 from two different translations. The first is formed by the renewed mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says it like this. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. If there is anything that we know about human nature, it is that people change slowly. It's not fun, it's uncomfortable, it's a burden, and yet sometimes it can be what we needed. So what would you change about yourself on the inside if you could? Maybe it would be that you are envious of those around you. Would it be a spirit of discontentment? Would it be lingering anger and resentment? Would it be a guilty conscience? Would it be a tendency to... The problem is with our mind. That's where it all starts. There are many who think that the problem with the human mind is that it does not have access to all the knowledge that it needs. So they make this pursuit of knowledge their great instrument of redemption, personal and social. Yet transformation starts in the mind. Not merely John Knight, but that we are fallen. So that moves me to question number two, why be transformed? Again, I'm going to start with something John Piper says. We are perfectly useless as Christians if all we do is conform to the world Paul's writing around us. Corinthians 2, verse 16, which says, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we fake people, fake happiness, fake pleasures, and fake paintings. There are certain people who are full-time appraisers. This is what they do. Or they can say, that's worth $5,000 at auction. Or that is going to fetch you $7 million. That is why Pawn Stars, I personally, we have a transformed mind. And now that we have the mind of Jesus, we can properly appraise the things of this world. Journal. This transformation that is for one reason. To make the point that the nonconformity to the world does not primarily mean the external avoidance of worldly behavior. That's included, but you can avoid all kinds of worldly behaviors and not actually be transformed. This is the opposite of being conformed to the world. The battleground between conforming to the world and being transformed is within the mind of the believer. So, as Christians, we must think differently. God wants us to have his mind, his thoughts, and his viewpoint in every situation. He wants us to have the ability to discern everything that happens to us from his vantage point, in his perspective, and not get bogged down or buried in our own negative thoughts and feelings. Because again, I believe many Christians live their life based on feelings, or they live their life based on doing. The life based on feelings says, how do I feel today? How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my spouse? How do I feel about the pastor's sermon right now? The life, by feeling, will never know the transforming power of God because it ignores the main component. It ignores the renewal of the mind, the transforming of the mind process. Now, the life, based on doing, says, just tell me what to do. Give me the 4 points of this and the 7 keys for that. And then they think they have it. This life of doing will never know the transforming power of God because it, too, ignores the renewing of the mind process. Now, God is not against feelings or doings. He clearly put those within us. He has asked us to do things, and he has given us the ability to feel things, to warn us, to help us, to teach us. So God is not against feelings or doing. Yet feelings and doing are completely insignificant foundations for the Christian life. The first question cannot be, how do I feel, or what do I do? Rather, it must be what is true here and what does God's word say. And God's word says, for us this morning, to be transformed. God is far more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. That may not sit well with some of you right now with what you're going through. We want God to change our circumstances. But the problem with that is far too often we base our life around circumstances, either good or bad. We base our happiness off of those circumstances. We can even base our love for Jesus off of those circumstances. James 1, verses 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. James is clearly, and maybe in a dumbed-down version, he's a different writer than Paul, but he is exactly talking about this change of our mind, transforming our mind. The only way you can look at trials of many different kinds with joy is because you have a transformed mind, because you have the mind of Jesus and you're looking at things from God's perspective, not our human, broken, fallen perspective. Now, we want God to take away all of our problems, all of the pain, all of the sorrow, all of the suffering, all of the sickness, and all of the sadness. And all of those things being taken away are important to God. But what may be more important is what God is doing inside of you, or what God wants to do inside of you. Because nothing in life happens until you change, until you transform your mind. No change in your life happens without this transformed mind. So God may be far more interested in changing your mind before he changes your circumstances, because change starts in the thoughts. It starts in our mind. So again, why is it important to transform our minds? I'll give you a couple of reasons just in case maybe you zoned out. Because your mind is the battleground for sin. The battle of sin always starts in the mind. A sinful life is a self-centered rather than God-centered life. The I, right, the I in sin is at the center of sin. And when we are focused on the I, we ignore God or live in rebellion against God's will. Something I believe that breaks God's heart most is when we choose our sin purposefully over him. So transforming your mind is important because your thoughts control your lives. All our thoughts. Every single action starts with a thought. Everything has a beginning in our lives. As you think in your heart is who you are. And what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Jesus says in Matthew 15, 18, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. So whatever or whoever is directing our hearts and minds is ultimately going to direct our lives. So think of it like this. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. And it all begins in your heart and in your thoughts. So transforming your mind is important because it brings life. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 is very clear when Paul says this: if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. So transforming your mind is important because it brings change. If there is no mind change, then there will never be any life change either. If we want to change what we do, we have to change what we want. But you have to be aware of your old nature. So this is maybe fitting for Father's Day, but this next paragraph might be kind of punny, if you will. But how do you make your mind mind? I don't know about you, but my mind likes to rebel a lot. My mind doesn't like to mind a lot. My mind, ironically, has a mind of its own. When I need to ponder, my thoughts seem to wander. And when I want to pray, my thoughts seem to just drift away. But do you ever feel like Paul? Do you ever find yourself doing things that you really don't want to do or that you feel bad about later? I'll ask it this way. Have you ever knowingly engaged in self-defeating behavior? Of course you have, because we all have. Well, those behaviors started as thoughts and then moved into action. You need to be aware of the world's values. The world has their own value system. It's prompted by advisors, movies, television, and songs. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. Most things we watch and most things we read and see around us are encouraging us to not act smartly and to not think wisely. They are encouraging us to think about ourselves and only ourselves. So whatever you want, whatever pleases you, whatever is best for you, whatever matches your opinion, no matter the cost, to another. So how do we become transformed then? You must realize that this transforming of the mind is a process. Renewing the mind is something we submit to. We give it to God and we let God do the rest. But we do have to try a little bit. When Paul describes what should happen in our lives, he does not say, renew your mind. As if, one, it is a single process, or two, it is all on you. He says, be transformed by the renewing or the transforming of your mind, implying that mind renewal is a process we submit to God to, and not only that, but it is a continual process, not a one-time event. Now, the mind includes the intellect, but goes far beyond that. Your mind is more than your IQ or your ability to solve math problems. Math was not my favorite subject. But the mind by nature is darkened because of sin. Here are quickly some things that the Bible says about the mind. It is depraved, Romans 1, 28. Filled with wicked thoughts, Jeremiah 4, 14. Hostile towards God, Romans 8, 7. Defiled, Titus 1, 15. Its thoughts are empty and worthless, Ephesians 4, 17. And it is easily filled with human pride, Colossians 2, 18. That is God's estimation of the human mind apart from his grace. And it is the truth about every human mind from birth. And it is true about you personally, not just the bad people out there. Apart from God, and unless God intervenes, that's our minds. So I got four steps for you. I know that's a lot. In preaching class, we were only told to give them 3 points. The fourth point, they will forget. I'm going to trust that you are better than that, and you're going to be able to remember all four of these. So step one, we must go through a mind transformation. If you remember back to seventh grade science class, I feel like it's a long time ago. Maybe it's not. But we learned a word known as metamorphosis. Now, this word transform is the same word that we use for the word metamorphosis, of a butterfly. The change in the end is something completely different from what was there before. It's a gradual change on the inside that produces a total transformation on the outside. This is how total the transformation should be when it comes to our thinking. And remember, our thoughts determine our actions. So butterflies, specifically the monarch type, follow a very specific generational migration. This was very interesting to me when I found this article talking about it. But they start in Mexico. The first generation will fly to the southern United States where they will remain for life. Their offspring will fly to the central states, stopping somewhere around the Ohio River where they will reproduce. At this point, the third generation will migrate to Canada to lay eggs. The fourth generation that is born in Canada will take a miraculous flight all the way back to the same mountains where their great-grandparents originated from. For countless years, this incredible butterfly has been following this same four-generational cycle. It's honestly, in my opinion, one of the most incredible, yet weird and mysterious journeys in the natural world. In short, they do it because it's in their nature. So caterpillars can't fly, but they were born to fly. We were not born to be controlled by our minds, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So when the caterpillar has been changed, it turns into a butterfly, and it becomes what God has always intended it to be. Metamorphosis reveals the essential character of whatever was put there by the Creator in the beginning. So when your mind is being transformed, when you are taking on this transforming process, you are taking on the character that God intended you to have from the beginning. So step two, recognize the source of self-focused and self-defeating thoughts. Given that our behavior begins in our minds, and our minds is where spiritual transformation happens, you and I must figure out what is hurting and controlling us. If we don't fill our minds with prayers and the things above, it will fill itself with worries, distractions, resentments, regrets, pride, and temptation. So we must replace our self-focused thinking with a God-focused mindset. Colossians 3:1 says this, "Since then, you have been raised with Jesus. Set your hearts on the things above, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God." Paul, the writer of Colossians, I think, continues this idea in Philippians 4:8, when he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Step three, rest in the truth that you are accepted in Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us." Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from..." Step four, this is the last one, but it's the most important one. Repeat steps 1-3 in with another one of his writings in Colossians 3. Verses 5-14, by saying this, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming to one by these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such language from these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filth." Can be translated a couple of ways, but the best way to translate it in the Greek is the word nekros, which is a very, very strong verb meaning to literally make dead and to continually make dead. It suggests that we are not simply to suppress or exterminate the old way of life. So if you want to change the way you act, don't focus on what you think. You don't even go back to the way you feel. You start by changing the way your mental process. It's going to change the way you feel, and it's going to change your behavior. So new life must be put into new lifestyle. And maybe there's some of you right now that you haven't bought. You haven't changed what you do. You haven't changed who you hang out with. You haven't changed the way that you speak. So the question I must ask is, what have you? The sensual by which it is to give it the very food and nourish. So Paul continued, your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed, is to put on the new man. Whatever phrase it is, this phrase, a set of clothes or changing a set of clothes. So in our society, typically there are certain clothes might be seen in suits. An athlete will wear sporting attires. Type of clothes can be drastic and have drastic consequences to your life. Slander. Do this by continual discipline, by continuing to rid ourselves of anger, but to put on these new clothes and to keep putting on these new clothes. And we do this every day to honor God and to represent our heavenly citizenship. So, blessed for us, because Paul explains it. Therefore, as God's chosen people, humility, gentleness, and patience. Kind of sounds like what we went through in 1 Corinthians. Against someone. On live as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, the pain found effect in our lives. Hate, ideally, has been replaced by love. No longer a part of our lives because we have the Holy Spirit within us. So when you begin to make God's priorities your priorities, life begins to look not some new steps, not some new habits or new ways or new motives or new prospects to everything that is a part of our old nature. Natural problems. Significantly, what we loved has passed away. Significantly, the supreme love of. The only way to replace the error of the world's ways of thinking forth that transformation is God's word, the Bible. And how blessed are we that we have transformation through renewed minds comes as believers expose themselves to swim California's one shoreline. She had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel. Of her, scared of sharks, fighting the fog and the chilly water, she told the boat beside her that she wanted to quit, completely exhausted and ready to throw in the towel. Her mother tried to encourage her by telling, she told a reporter, all I could see was the fog. I think if I could see the shore, she quit. You need to know that things are going to try and block your transformation. This will happen. Trials will take place, and people will be people. Possible. Don't think that you need some sort of miracle experiment or expectation, and be cautious of falling into the trap of thinking that if you just try harder, you'll get better. Bigger than yourself, the things that God cares about, you will be able to handle this such intentional lifestyle. So run after Jesus with everything you have and closer in this process of transforming your mind. And as Paul says, again, in Romans 12:2, into a new person by changing the way you think. And to finish the sermon, thank you, God, that you are so loving and life is in you. Thank you that your love is perfect. It never fails. Ability to come to you, and you will care about them. God, we thank you that your love bears all things, believes all fails. Help us to love as you love, and fill us with your Spirit so that we can show you so closely. We love you, Lord. We need you today and every day.